Okay, so we're moving this week one vod of to do Marv. So the Gemara tells us, as we know, the Tfilos were established by the Avos, Avram established Shachris, Yitzhak established Mincha, Yaakov established Marv. And the Gemara concludes that these Tfilos are also in the place of the Avoda. Shachris corresponds to the Tamid Shal Shachar, Mincha corresponds to the Tamid Shal Bein Harboyim, and Marv corresponds to the burning of the limbs and the fats, the Hector Eivarim V'Chalavim at night. And Rav Moshe Wolfson brings that Rav Shimon Yochai teaches that the ideal time for burning of these limbs and fats is really by day. And therefore, the burning of the fats and limbs at night was really only a bidyevet allowance. And the Medrash also tells us that Yaakov was the Bechir Sheba Avos. He was the most esteemed of all the Avos. And the Zohar extols the uniqueness of Marav and how it brings about tikkunim that the world had not previously known. And Rav Moshe Wolfson asks, it seems strange that this great tefillah established by the greatest of the Avos should correspond to something that rather than being an integral part of the daily Avoda was a bidyevet. And also, we know that really Marv is a reshus, a voluntary tefillah. Today it's been accepted as a chova, but in reality, Marv is a reshus compared to Shachris and Mincha. Why is Yaakov's tefillah any less important than that of Avraham or Yitzchak? And another question, Tosus tells us that Yaakov davened this tefillah during daylight. Yet, Tosus tells us that we should not daven Marv until the onset of night. And the Gemara tells us that in connection to Avraham, the place of the Beis HaMikdash is referred to as a mountain. By Yitzchak, it's referred to as a field, and by Yaakov as a house. And the Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, V'holchu amim rabim v'omru l'chu v'nalel har Hashem al Beis Elkei Yaakov. And it refers to the Beis HaMikdash as the house of the Hashem, of the God of Yaakov. And the Marsha explains that each of these three descriptions corresponds to a different Beis HaMikdash. Avraham's mountain corresponds to the first Beis HaMikdash, which the Shechina watched over like a guard strategically placed on top of a mountain. However, this protection was not permanent, as it was eventually destroyed, to which Yirmiyahu said, Al Har Tzion Sheshomim. The field of Yitzchak represents the second Beis HaMikdash, in which the Shekhinah was manifest to a lesser degree. And this Beis HaMikdash was also destroyed, as it alluded to in the Pasuk, Tzion Sade Techoresh. And the house of Yaakov symbolizes the third Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem caused the sun to set early, forcing Yaakov to spend the night there, as one does in a house, for it will be permanent, never to be destroyed. And the third Beis HaMikdash will descend from Shemayim complete. And the level to which the Shekhinah will manifest itself there will surpass even that of the Bayis Rishon. In our present state, we're far removed from any understanding or any connection to the spiritual aura that will shine forth. And just as we're removed from that aura, so are we removed from the full essence of the tefillah that corresponds to that house of Hashem. And therefore, Chazal ruled that until the arrival of Mashiach, the tefillah of Marv should remain a reshus. They could not obligate us in something from which our neshamos are presently distant. And Rav Moshe Wolfson tells us that in Tanakh, as well as in all writings of Chazal, clarity is represented by day and obscurity is symbolized by night. And since we are allowed to fully connect to the essence of Shachris and Mincha, since we're able to fully connect, we recite them during the daylight hours. However, regarding Marav, our comprehension is still obscured, and therefore we recite it at night. Yaakov Avinu, however, did relate to Marv's full meaning and depth. After all, he referred to the third Beis HaMikdash with the term Bayis, and he spent the night on that holy spot and dreamt a prophetic vision. And at that time, Hashem showed Yaakov the future Beis HaMikdash in all its splendor. And Yaakov surely comprehended that full essence of Marv, and therefore he was able to daven Marv while it was still day. We mentioned that Shachris and Mincha correspond to the Karban Tamid. More specifically, they correspond to the Zrikas Adam, the primary avoda of any carbon, which is the sprinkling of the blood. The Zrikas Adam served as a kapara for the avoda of the owner of the carbon, which in the case of the Tumid is all of Klal Yisrael. Shachris and Mincha also, as we said, correspond to the first and second base of Migdash, when the Yetzirah induced man to sin, and there was therefore a need for kapara. Thus, Shachris and Mincha affected kapara for the individual and for Klal Yisrael as a whole. Marav, however, corresponds, we said, to the burning of the fats and the limbs, which in contrast to the blood is not an essential part of the offering in order for it to be valid, and therefore for the owner to gain atonement. Rather, the burning affects just a reich nichoach for Hashem. It's just a pleasure for Hashem. And Marv corresponds to the third base of Migdash when the Yetzirah will cease to exist. And at that time, even the blood of the offerings will not be needed for kapara anymore. Rather, it will serve that same purpose as the fats and the limbs, just as a pleasure as a reich nichoach to Hashem. And at that time, Marv will be davened before dark, just as Yaakov Avinu did. And Marv opens up for many with a Shir Hamalos. The Mishnah Berurah writes that some have the minig to recite Shir Hamalos in Baruch Hu Es Hashem before Marv. And the reason is because one needs to say Kriya Shema coming straight from learning. And this parak was the parak that was chosen either because of the pasuk that says Ha'omdim Beveis Hashem Balelos, that who stand in the house of Hashem in the night, which is what we're doing when we daven Marv, or for the pasuk of Su'u Yideichem Kodesh Uvaruch Hu Es Hashem, as an introduction to the Baruch Hu we're about to say. We then say V'hu Rachum, and the Torah explains that we recite this verse in Maariv because there's no daily carbon at night, as there was by Shachris and Mincha. And since the Karbonos atone for our sins, and there is no atonement at Maariv, we ask Hashem that He should atone for them, even in the absence of a carbon, by saying the Pasuk of V'hu Rachum. Another reason is because there was this ancient Minog to have oneself voluntarily flogged. They used to give each other malchus before Maariv to atone for any aveira done during that day. And after getting that malchus, they would then say v'hu rachum. The Beis Yosef brings a kolbo that also says that no one ever stayed overnight in Yerushalayim with any aveiros, because the carbon tumid in the morning would atone for the aveiros one did at night, and the carbon tumid of the afternoon would atone for the aveiros committed during the day. And the pasuk of V'hu Rachum was therefore added to Shachris in the tefillah of Uval Etzion to atone for the averus that one committed at night, and to Maariv to plead for their atonement for the averus committed by day. It was also added in Psukah de Zimra because on Shabbos and Yontov, as we know, we do not recite V'hu Rachum before Maariv, so we replace it with the recitation in the morning. We then say Baruch Hu, and the Mishnah Berurah states empathetically that one should not speak once he answers Baruch Hu, as Baruch Hu is the beginning of Berchus Kriya Shema, and it's just the Chazan's command to the Tzibur that we're starting the Baruch Hu. And when they answer Baruch Hashem HaMavaruch, they've therefore technically have already begun to say the first Baruch Hu. And therefore one must be very careful not to speak if he's planning on joining that minyan for Maariv. And we open the first Baruch Hu, and it we say, Gol El Or Mipnei Choshech V'Choshech Mipnei Or, and the Rosh Hashulchan explains that Chazal obligated us in Maariv to mention Hashem's removal of darkness before the advent of the light, just as in the morning he instituted that we mention the creation of darkness by Shachris. Thereby we're declaring our betachon and our faith in Hashem that there's one Hashem that had created both night and day, even though they appear to be opposites. There are Chasholchan adds that the word golel, which literally means to turn, was chosen here because the world is round. As it spins on its axis, some of the parts of the world are experiencing day, and others are experiencing night. And seconds later, as the world turns a bit more, one area experiences the disappearance of some of the daylight and the heralding of the night, and other areas experience the removal of some darkness before the approaching daylight. And the fact that this happens constantly makes the present tense of Golel appropriate. We say Umasaders Hakochovim Ushmurseim Berkir Kirtzono. Hashem set the world in a manner that the constellations cause the world to receive light and alternate between night and day. Hashem Tzvako Shimo. Baruch Hashulchan explains that this is included to clarify that although the constellations seem to make the world run on schedule, they are really just the tools in Hashem's hands. And then we come to the closing of this bracha, and Rabbi Yechiel, the brother of the Torah, asks. He says that whenever we close a bracha, the part after the Hashem and the pasuk right before, the phrase right before the bracha, are supposed to be similar. He says, however, in the Ashkenazic texts and our davening, we say umavdil ben yom uvein loyla, which resembles the closing of Hamariv Aravim. But then we interject between the two with the phrase, with the clause, kelchai v'kayim tamid yim locholenu lolomved, which has nothing to do with the ending of the bracha. And therefore, the Torah concludes that the Sephardic text is preferable because they leave out this pasuk of Kelchai V'Kayim. However, the Torah quotes his father, the Rosh, who explains that this phrase really bears resemblance to the end of this bracha. Because when the day will come when Mashiach will come and Hashem's reign will become apparent to all, which is what we're davening for with these words of Kel Chai V'Kayim, the following will happen. It says, V'hoya yom echad hu yivadol Hashem lo yom v'lo layla v'hoya leis erev ye'ar. It will be a unique day. It will be known as Hashem's day, neither day nor night, but it will happen toward evening time that there will be light. Therefore, in davening, that when we're saying that Hashem should reign over all of us for eternity, we're davening for the fulfillment of that nevuah when the night will light up like the day. And thus the revelation of Hashem's kingship is connected to the subject of day and night. And the Aruch HaShulchan points out that this fits with the main concept that we mentioned throughout Maariv. The long and bitter gullus that we are in is likened to night, during which everything looks black, and at such times we must have faith in Hashem. And this is also expressed, as we know, in Emes V'Emunah, which is what we say at night, as opposed to Emes V'Yatziv, which we say in the morning. And as we conclude the first bracha, we also express our faith in Hashem's promise to redeem us and reign over all of us for all of eternity, and at which time Hashem will make the daylight shine for us and the darkness of night will envelop our enemies. We then move into Avos Olam, and as we mentioned when we spoke about Shacharis, the minhag for Nusach Ashkenaz is to begin this bracha with Ava Rabba in the morning and Avos Olam at night. And the Maharal explains that Ava Rabba speaks of the abundance of Hashem's love towards us, while Avos Olam refers to the fact that the love of Hashem is eternal. And the morning time is a time of light, a time which Hashem's love for us is widely apparent. And therefore we can speak of the copious love He has for us. However, in the darkness of night, that love is less obvious. Nevertheless, we remain filled with the faith that Hashem loves us, for His love is eternal love. And we then say Kriya Shema, and one should have in mind that he's been mekayim the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema at night. And the Zman of Kriya Shema is after Tzeis HaKochavim. And therefore, if one recites it before nightfall, he has to repeat it again after nightfall without the brachos. And it should not be the same Kriya Shema that he says when he's going to sleep. And therefore one should try to make sure to add in a Kriya Shema after Tzeis, but before Kriya Shema Alamita. Emes V'Emunah, the Maharal tells us that no matter how long and dark this Golus seems to be, we have a Emunah that Hashem is with us and will take us out of this Golus. And we end that Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Gaal Yisrael, the Mishnah Berurah writes, that there's a mitzvah at night to connect geula and tefillah, just as there is in the morning. And the Shaar Tzion adds that Chazal say, who will merit a portion in Olam Haba? It's he who connects the geula recited at night to the evening tefillah. And the Torah explains that we use the past tense of Gal Yisrael because this bracha is referring to the geula from Mitzrayim and not the ultimate geula, which we are all waiting for. And we then go into Hashkivenu. And the question that's asked, the obvious question, is why is this bracha not considered an interruption between geula and tefillah? And the Gemara tells us that it's considered a geula arichta, a long geula. And Rabbeinu Yonah explains that when Hashem brought Makas Bechoros, Klal Yisrael was afraid that they would suffer the same fate, that their Bechorim were going to die also. So they davened to Hashem that He should keep the promise He made to Moshe Rabbeinu to save the Jewish Bechorim from harm. And the tefillah of Hashkivenu, in which we ask Hashem that no harm should come to us, corresponds to that tefillah recited by Klal Yisrael. And since it's connected to the subject of the Geula, it's not considered an interruption. And the Mishnah Berurah says that we close the bracha with the word Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad, because we need protection from the forces of evil that roam freely every night. And then we say Baruch Hashem La'olam. And the Torah writes the minig of interrupting in between Geula and Tefillah with the Psukim here and Yiro Einenu and Kaddish is because in the olden times the shuls were in the fields and people were afraid to stay there late until the time of Tefillah's Arvis. So Chazal set up to say these Psukim, which contain 18 mentions of the Shem Havaya corresponding to the 18 brachas of Kriyashma and then Kaddish. And then they would go home. Now that people daven Maariv in local shuls, the old minhag was not abolished, and they are like an extended redemption. However, there are other great authorities who do not say these psukim, like the minhag Hagra, for example. And the Rama writes, he tells us that the Medaktikim had a minhag to stand for this bracha. Since it was set up in place of Shmona Esrei, therefore, just as we stand for Shmona Esrei, one should stand for this bracha, and the Rama concludes that it's a good minhag. The Mishnah Berurah, however, disagrees and says one should not stand here to show that he does not want to be Yotze his Chiv of Shemona Esrei when saying this bracha. And just to end off, what happens if one's late to Marv and he finds the Tziba ready to daven Shemona Esrei? So the halacha tells us that he should, at that point, start Shemona Esrei with them and then go back and say the brachos with Kriya Shema, because by Marv, Tfilah B'Tzibur is greater still than So Meku'ulah Tfilah. But this is only true if there is no other Marv. If there is, then one has to go to the other Marv and daven with that minion. However, if he comes and he estimates that he can daven Marv and just skip the bracha, the psukim of Baruch Hashem La'olam, and he still can get the Shemona Esrei at the same time and get Tfilah B'Tzibur, he should daven regular and go straight. And then afterwards, there's a machlokas. Some say one should say Baruch Hashem afterwards. Others say he shouldn't. The Mishnah Berurah compromises and says you should only say the psukim, but not the last paragraph of Yiroinenu. And obviously, therefore, the best option is coming on time. So closing with an email.
Or you get malchus.
You might get the malchus, and that's true. And then the homework. So we know that every time a person calls out to Hashem for help, it brings a bracha. And Hashem tells us, Eilecha ovo shmi es asker asher hamokom b'chol uverechticha. Not sure if that pasuk came out straight. But whoever his name is called, he comes and brings blessing. And we could achieve so much through tefillah, and the more we believe in it, the more blessing it yields. And Rabbi Yeruchim Levovitz writes that when we daven, we'd experience the same feeling that we have when we call a friend to help, and we see him coming. When we call to Hashem for help, we need a picture in our minds that He's responding to our call and coming, because He really is. Tefillah always produces some kind of benefit, though not always the benefit one is expecting. Our Chachamim teach us that some tefillos require decades to be answered. Others require months, some weeks, and some are answered immediately. We never know how long it will take for any given tefillah to be answered, but we must be in a habit of turning to Hashem whenever we need something. Even something simple, and even many times throughout the day. The Sefer Chassidim writes that one does not have to be especially righteous for his tefillos to be answered. Anyone can daven and be answered as long as one is sincere. Rav Noach Weinberg of Yeshiva Eish HaTorah told once that a young man named Jeff came into his office and introduced himself as an atheist student that was learning in Harvard. And the rabbi asked him why he came to the yeshiva. And Jeff explained that he was visiting Norway to see his Norwegian fiancé and figured that if he would ever visit Israel, this was the chance to do so. I came over here to see some old stones, Jeff said, but when I stood in front of the Western Wall, I felt something heavy. I was moved. I said, God, I don't believe in you right now, but I feel something, and I don't want my entire life to be a mistake. If you're really here, please give me an introduction. Just then, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I was so startled, I almost jumped 3 feet in the air. What do you want? I exclaimed. I'm very sorry, the other boy said. I was wondering if you wanted to learn about God. This question hit me like a 2x4 right between the eyes. I had just finished asking Hashem for an introduction, and right away someone came and offered to introduce me to God. This person was a student from Eish HaTorah. This is why I am here. Jeff ended up a Baal Tshuva and married an observant girl. As we see, some tefillos are answered immediately. Another story, a boy told me that he spent the past year in Eretz Yisrael, and one night he found that his friend was going through a very difficult time. And he desperately wanted to go visit his friend and offer encouragement. But it was 12:30 at night, and he was in an area where taxis did not normally drive. Moreover, the standard fare for the ride to where the boy needed to go was 60 shekels. He only had 40 shekels. And the boy stood outside and said, Hashem, please help me do this mitzvah and send me a taxi that will take me there for 40 shekels. Within a few minutes, a taxi happened to come down the road. However, it stopped across the street to pick up someone else. The boy who had been working to build his emunah immediately said, Baruch Hashem, this taxi is not for me. I will get another one. But just then, the taxi swung around, and the driver asked the boy where he needed to go. And the boy told him the name of the place, and the driver told him that this place was on the way to where he was driving. And I'll only charge you 40 shekels, the driver said, since I'm already driving someone else. And therefore, we should always be asking Hashem for help. But some tefillos take time. Some, however, are answered right away. But each and every tefillah is heard, and each and every tefillah accomplishes something significant. And we just have to remember that You know, sometimes it looks like our tefillos aren't being answered, but by giving up, we certainly will not get the answer, and we just have to keep knocking on the door, keep talking to Hashem, and eventually, you know, the tefillah will be answered, you know, and eventually, you know, we'll get the clarity in order to daven Marv at the proper time, to daven it during the daytime, and not have to do it at night, and then we'll have, obviously, the Mashiach and the Geula, and obviously the homework is one time, as we're davening Marv this week, to stop and think why we daven Marv at night, what we're doing with this tefillah, and hopefully it will be a different Marv.